Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم وبعث نبيين مباشرين ومنذرين وأنزل معهم الكتاب بالحق ليرشد الناس إلى سبيل الهدى ويخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير نشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ويا أيها المسلمون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله وجمعة مبارك أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الرحمن علم القرآن خلق الإنسان علمه البيان صدق الله العظيم الله the mighty has spoken the truth. An expression of these four ayahs, the first four of Surah 55, Surah Ar-Rahman. The merciful benefactor, it is he who has taught the Quran. He has created al-insan. He has taught him speech and intelligence. Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. I'd like to read this report attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It says Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu reported, Allah's Messenger, peace and blessings be upon him, narrated to us about two matters that I have seen one come into reality, and I am waiting for the other. He, that is the Prophet, told us integrity was put into the nature of people. Then the Quran was revealed, and they learned it from the Quran, and they learned it from my practices. Then the Prophet told us about the removal of integrity. He said, a man would have a wink of sleep, that is, he'd take a nap, right? A wink of sleep and integrity would be taken away from his heart, leaving the impression of a faint mark. He would again sleep, and trustworthiness would be taken from his heart, leaving an impression like that of a blister, as if you had stepped on an ember and the blister came up. You would see a swelling, but it has nothing in it. He, the prophet, then said, he took up a pebble and rolled it over his foot and said, in that time, that is when circumstances reached that point, in that time, the people would enter into transactions with one another, but hardly a person would be left who would return things that had been entrusted to them. And there would be such a lack of honesty in people that it would be said, in such and such tribe, there's a trustworthy man. And they would also say about a person, how prudent he is, how broad-minded he is, and how intelligent he is, whereas in his heart, there would not be the faith, the weight of a mustard seed. There was a time in which I did not care with whom among you I entered into a transaction. This is Huzaifa saying this. There was a time in which I didn't care with whom I entered into a transaction with. Because if he were a Muslim, his faith would compel him to observe his obligations to me. And if he were a Christian or a Jew, the ruler would compel him to discharge his obligations to me. But today, I don't enter into any transactions except with so-and-so. And to the saying of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet, peace be upon him, spoke the truth. We're continuing on the subject further into the frontier of the Holy Quran, and we've been using as a frame these four verses of Surah Ar-Rahman, and we've gone through one, two, and we're inside of the third iteration of it, with the starting point that being that the merciful benefactor, Allah, in what he gives, we're looking at it through that lens. So when we begin in this cycle, Ar-Rahman, the merciful benefactor, we're speaking about the favors of Allah to all humanity, not just to Arabs, to all humanity, not just to Arabs. And also, Allama al-Quran, these are all parts of the Jum'ah before today that we've spent time in, these particular verses. But in sum, the conclusion of verse 2 for us is that it is a part of the graciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah to all humanity, that he revealed the Quran to Muhammad ibn Abdullah, and that Muhammad ibn Abdullah lived out that revelation as Allah's as the last prophet and as Allah's messenger. So Ar-Rahman, his grace is for all, not just Arabs. Allama al-Quran, very particular and important that we understand that he caused Muhammad ibn Abdullah to know the Quran. He was the first point. He's the entry point of that revelation into our world, into the world, period. And to live it out as the last messenger. And last week we focused on Muhammad as the prophet, خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانِ, and we want to just finish off that part of it, inshallah, today, and then move towards عَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنِ. So he revealed it to Muhammad ibn Abdullah, who lived it out as the last prophet. That was in Allah's purpose, in his intention, in his will, in his design to complete for us our way of life, and to perfect his favor on us. The way that it was done, and that's the time that we spent understanding that Muhammad was not just another human being. Allah had worked through the epochs of time for us to have Muhammad ibn Abdullah in that place at that time to be the recipient of the last revelation. And then he caused him to know the revelation. And as upon that pure nature, as he's called Ummi, upon revealing the Quran, upon that protected pure nature, so that he would be a model for all humanity. Now, it started with the Arabs, quote unquote, that's where he was first. But it was a model and is a model that, in fact, that's the Prophet is called Siraj and Munir, a light that spreads out. And that's what happened. 7th century, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, and even until now, the light that came from Muhammad ibn Abdullah vis-a-vis the Quran, the world is still experiencing the brilliance in both ways of the Quran and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's what Allah created him for, and that is by the grace of Allah. We would not have Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We would not have Muhammad. We would not have the Quran were it not a part of the design of Allah and his intention to share and put that grace upon us, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. And so that third part says that خلق الإنسان, الإنسان. It's very, very important to understand. I'll repeat it here. Muhammad the Prophet completed the historic line of revelation and the combination of man and revelation. That is, Allah sent a man revelation, and that man was Muhammad ibn Abdullah, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. And by him receiving that revelation, it completed Allah's intention to set before the world, here is what all of you should model yourself after. Isn't that what a good teacher does? The teacher is teaching a child, a student, whoever it might be. They're teaching them something. Okay, give me an example. Give me an example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us Muhammad. He's the perfect example. And he's the example of perfection. That is al-insan. Khalaq al-insan. He formed and shaped and fashioned al-insan. And as we say, one of the good ways to remember it is to take it as the inside man, the man inside. Of course, we're speaking of humanity, our humanity, which includes males and females. And 33:21 of the Quran, which we're very familiar with, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ لَقَدْ خَيَّنَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَصْوَةٍ حَسَنَةٍ. You have in the Messenger of Allah an excellent model example. لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجِعُ اللَّهُ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهُ كَثِيرًا. For anyone, not just Muslims, not just Arabs, for anyone whose hope is in Allah and the last day and who remember Allah often. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانِ, then in this expression of it, just understand that that's Muhammad. That's Muhammad. He is al-insan. He is the model of the perfected human being. He is the most excellent human being in the excellence of our humanity in full form. In fact, when the Quran says, we can see in that history, I should say, we can see in that history where Allah says in Surah Teen, that's 95, أعوذ بالله والتين والزيتون وطور سنين وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن التقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات. To the end. By the fig, by the olive, and what was revealed on Mount Sinai, and by this city, speaking of Mecca is where you have different opinions, but Medina to Munawwara is the perfect model that was made safe by virtue of the Prophet's coming and the Prophet's presence, et cetera, et cetera. In any case, the point is, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ في أحسن تقويم الإنسان محمد ابن عبد الله plus the Quran, that's the insan in this representation. That's the insan. So now you have the perfect model. The model is set. And that's the model that we're all in until we fall. And then the collapse comes from the loss of harmony, reconciliation to, obedience to what Allah has revealed in concert with our own nature. As the Quran says, فَأَكِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِدِينَ هَنِيفَ فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ قَيِّمًا وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ. So Allah told us that I'm giving you the revelation, I've also given you a nature. Your job is to keep that nature true to my design. Now I've given you Muhammad to model for you how to stay true to that, because he's the Quran walking. He's the word made flesh. Now everybody's going to be fine if you stick to his model, which means also live out the book. Who's going to be fine? Everybody. Illa alladhina. Everybody's going to be fine except those who get away from that. And what is your protection? What is our protection? Illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat. Is to have the proper faith and do the proper things, you're going to be fine. You'll be true to that original nature. But if you fail that, then you fall. And indeed, the Quran says you fall to the lowest of the low. So now we move to the fourth verse of this Surah Ar-Rahman, which is Allamahu al-Bayan. Allamahu al-Bayan. Everything here is just so rich. So I guess that's just a way to prepare you for a couple of more turns of khutbah before we can say this is done. So, mashallah, we're on a journey. We will arrive, inshallah. Allamahu al-Bayan, taught him al-Bayan. All of these things, there's no simple quote-unquote definition, interpretation, translation. But there's enough to get us in the neighborhood of what's being said. But what's really in it is much bigger than a sentence can say. But let's just understand. Allamahu al-bayan. He taught him al-bayan. So just like al-insan, it's not enough to just say created man. You have to go into al-insan. What is al-insan? Which we've already done in small degree. Now the same must be done for al-bayan. The same must be done for al-bayan. It's not simply speech and intelligence. Is not simply speech and intelligence, but as a translation to where, well, we've talked about abstraction. It's abstract to say it's the truth without detail. It's the truth, but there's some details that are not included, right? In the word, the truth is all in the word. It's all there. And the choice to say, taught him speech and intelligence, is a decision to say, okay, well, it would be enough for an English-speaking audience. Just pull that out and tell them this is what it means. And you'll be right, but it won't be detailed. The detail has to come from our own study to really appreciate how it is such a grace. Such a grace. It is. So we go on. So beginning and keeping it tied to Muhammad ibn Abdullah as the first receptacle of the last revelation, is narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He said, I heard Allah's apostle, peace be upon him, saying, I have been sent with Jawami al-Kalam. Jawami al-Kalam. And again, an expression of that is the shortest expression carrying the widest meaning. So you can say something small, but there's a lot to it. That's what the prophet is saying. And the report goes on that the prophet continued, and I was made victorious with awe. That is, Allah would cast fear into the hearts of his enemies. And he said, peace be upon him, and while I was sleeping, the keys of the treasures of the earth were brought to me and were put in my hand. The report goes on. It says, Muhammad said, Jawami al-Kalam means that Allah expresses in one or two statements or thereabouts the numerous matters that used to be written in the books revealed before the coming of the Prophet, peace be upon him. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, a part of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be upon him, part of the Prophet's reality is that, yes, he's the recipient of the Quran. There's also another report that I'll mention, but it goes along with this very statement. It says that I have been given the Quran and something like it, the Prophet. I have been given the Quran and something like it. So words of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam also have, they're not equal to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let's be clear. But he says in short phrases, he says in short statements, worlds of knowledge inside of what he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has actually said. And so this is the case that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him. Now we're speaking of Muhammad, when it says, alamahul bayan, the who, H-U transliteration of the attached pronoun, alamahu. The who is Muhammad ibn Abdullah, who now is Muhammad the Prophet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him al-bayan, and I'm going to restrain myself before we get into the definitions of that term itself and where it takes us. But I want to bring your attention to a book that my dear brother, rahimahullah alayhi, Qasim Ahmed had introduced me to. Very good book. From my reading, from my sensing, this person is not a Muslim, so I just want to be clear about that. And always, anytime we reference anything outside of the Quran and the life model of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, you always got to watch out for the fish bones. But I think I've filleted this part, so it should be fine. And plus, I trust my brother. And having read it, it's pretty comfortable. But I have to put that caveat on what I'm saying. This is my note from another writing that included this commentary. One of the little appreciated miracles of the Quran is the dramatic transformation of the Arabs by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that can be attributed largely to their adoption of a new language. It's very, very important. Change your language, you change your reality. Okay. A language created by associations that were never before conceived by the Arabs themselves between words that were already in common usage. I'm always reminded in that scenario, Moses and his rod. God asked him, what is that in your right hand? He said, it's my rod. What do you do with it? And Moses explained what he did with it. God said, throw it down. When he threw it down, then it became active, and it frightened Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. God told him, don't be afraid, pick it up. And it returned to its former condition. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling that what you have in your hand has much more powerful uses than the uses that you're putting it to. That's what I say about the Quran, and it's true about the Quran. What we have in our hand as the Quran has much more powerful uses than we put it to. Really have to think about this, brothers and sisters. How many ways are we reaching out in heart, mind, spirit, and indeed in body, trying to get help for things in our life, things that we wish were different, things that we wish were better, things that we wish we were able to accomplish, achieve, receive, etc. How many of such things are there, and how much of our questing for what I'm talking about, whatever the category, have we sought to bring the Quran to bear on it other than as a prayer book? Oh, I need help in business. I better go make dua. I'm going to learn a surah, and maybe Allah bless me with that contract. Maybe the Quran might tell you how to go about bargaining for the contract, or equipping yourself to be qualified for the contract. Maybe it might tell you something to actually do or a way to actually think about it, which influences the spirit with which you approach it, the behavior that you engage it with and through. Maybe the Quran has something to say about it, and I know it does. But if we only see the Quran as a prayer book, then we're not getting the full benefit of the Quran in all of its richness. I'm always reminded of the Tasmanians. It said for 4,000 years, they would suffer periodic famine. This Tasmania is like an island. And they would periodically suffer famine because they never saw fish as food. They're surrounded by food. Oh, but that ain't food. I'm just going to hit you with something and move on, right? Now, we said, man, I ain't going to eat no dog, man. What is the dog? Dog's a pet. Dog's a man's best friend. Somebody said, yeah, when they barbecued, but that, no, they didn't say that. Can't say that in America. You get put in jail quicker than shooting a black man for messing with a dog, okay? But let's pull ourselves back here. The idea is that the Quran, our life is like that Tasmanian island, right? Our life is, in my analogy, our life is like that Tasmanian island. And sometimes we get to those periods where we don't know what to do. And we suffer spiritually and morally and other ways because we have not seen the Quran as a go-to resource in times like that concretely, as opposed to just appealing to, you know, oh God, please help me. So the point is that we need to understand that the power in the words of the Quran, we have to learn those words. We have to learn those words. When you say taqwa, what does it mean from what God said? What does it mean from what God said? Okay? Salah. What does it mean from what Allah said? Your vocabulary as it bears on your life. How many of the words of the Quran are involved with decisions you make around that area? It can be any area. It can be politics, education, culture, politics. What Quranic language do we use to frame our ideas, our thinking, our behavior? Or are we more dependent on the vocabulary that the world gives us? So if we're focused on the world's political vocabulary, we're focused on the world's academic vocabulary, we're focused on the world's cultural vocabulary, We focus on the world economic vocabulary. That vocabulary becomes a cage for your perception. You have this language, think outside the box. Well, the box is the language. And if you don't have words that take you outside of the language of the world, you can only go as far as the vocabulary of the world can take you. And this world has a vocabulary for the leaders and a vocabulary for the workers. Which one you think we've been taught? But that's all praise is due to Allah. That is a part of Ar-Rahman. I'm going to give you a language that's outside of all the boxes. It's blessed from the oil of a blessed olive is neither east nor west. Let's stay with what we're talking about right here. We know that there are powerful minds, ideas, and thinking, and forceful language in Western academia. And if they said it, it's like God spoke. That's the West. So the West has its light, and the West has its power by virtue of its language. And a part of the power of its language is the fact that you go around the world, English is still, at this point, the lingua franca of the world. You want to get something done wherever you're going somewhere, you need to learn, speak some English. I know. The Hispanics guys, they're rocking. China, Asia, they're doing what they do, but they still have not displaced American and, quote, British English. So that's the light of the West. Light of the East is language around spiritual systems. You got people who they focus on whatever it can be Buddhism, it can be Sanskrit, it can be when these people are supposed to be getting real heavy, they say, yeah, it's the Sanskrit. They say, oh wait, I better listen. Because they say this, they say that, and it's come from the Tao Te Ching, and there's no disrespect, you know. In the ancient books, the original languages, the real language, da, da, da. The Quran is neither east nor west. These words of the Quran, which I'll just mention two of them in the examples that's given in the book, just take that as, that's just an example, which we always need, an example of, well, what if I looked at this word and that word? I wonder what this word in relationship to that word actually says and does. That's what we have to learn how to do. But let's understand the example of why, and this all tied to لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ الرَّحْمَنَ خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ. So in his book, the title of the book is God and Man and the Quran. God and Man and the Quran. And the author is ISUTZU, Dr. ISUTZU, God and Man and the Quran. He gives this example in the two terms, two words, taqwa and kareem, two words, taqwa and kareem as examples of the phenomena we've been talking about. So to summarize his explanation, he says that taqwa today is one of the cornerstones on which the whole edifice of Quranic piety, P-I-E-T-Y, Quranic piety is based. It's based on taqwa, right? But before that, in Jahiliyyah, that is the time of ignorance, it was an extremely common word. It wasn't brand new vis-a-vis the Quran. They were already using that word, okay? It was an extremely common word that simply meant a very ordinary sort of animal behavior. And that animal behavior was a self-defensive attitude with an accompanying sense of fear. So inside their language, taqwa meant the way that you see an animal behaving when it feels threatened and it needs to be secure. It gets defensive and it's afraid. That's what taqwa meant before the Quran incorporated it in the revelation. So that's taqwa. So that's one word. That's what the word meant before the Quran came. The word kareem was a very important keyword in Jahiliyyah, that is the time of ignorance. And what it meant was a nobility of lineage. It means someone being of noble birth. Now, going back to an illustration, the noble birth going back to an illustrious ancestor by an unblemished pedigree. In the old Arab conception of human virtue, now this is what was virtue among them, this is what he's about to describe. In the old Arab conception of virtue, this word meant extravagant and unlimited generosity. That is, a person who could display the most extravagant and unlimited generosity was giving to their people the most conspicuous and concrete manifestation of their nobility. Oh, you're noble? Okay, let's see how much spending you're gonna do. However, no, one more sentence. So kareem acquired the meaning of a man characterized by extravagant generosity, going to the degree of our concept of a squanderer. Let me give you something to juxtapose with that. I know none of y'all went through this. I mean, most people my age never went through this. You know it's a setup, right? Man, we went out last night, man. We was messed up, man. I was toe down, bro. What did he just say? Are you all right? Did you have to call the ambulance? Did you have to call the, you know? No. We were having a good time. It was a good time, man. I was towed out. I was messed up, man. And the rest of our life was there. Man, that was bad, man. That was sick, man. That was dope, bro. All those are good things that I just talked about. So you can see how we in this world, in our language, we're in the same kind of jahiliyyah clutches of the language. See? Well, that was the case for the Arabs at that time. However, when Allah revealed 49:13, and in that portion of it where that is Surah Al-Hujurat 49, and in 13, where the verse says, Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Inna akramakum, surely the one who is greatest in kareem is the greatest in taqwa. Now, both of these words in their own language have the meaning that we said. Taqwa is the fear of an animal, the sense of defensiveness that an animal has, taqwa. Having its generosity, kareem. Allah is saying in both cases, neither one of those words mean what you all have made it mean, speaking to the Arabs. If you want to know who's the most noble, the one that's most noble is the one who's greatest in taqwa. Right? So are you telling me it means I got to be like an animal? Except, no. It's saying that this taqwa, which is also explained in other places in the Quran, is that ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. Oh, you who believe, have this kind of regard for Allah. That is, your security is in Allah. Your quote-unquote fear for Allah is not the animal fear of Allah, but it is a fear of disappointing Allah. It is a fear recognizing that you're going to have to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in judgment, and you are concerned about how your behavior is going to impact that meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So taqwa tuqatihi, that is taqwa in the manner that it should be. And so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed it, it presented a combination of the two words that no one had ever dreamed of in the pre-Islamic period. This old Arabic word, Kareem, from the old Arab outlook on life, was almost forcibly put into an entirely new sphere when Allah joined it with piety in Islam. This was the revolution in the history of the moral ideas of the Arabs, for nobody in ancient Arabia could have had thought of giving a formal definition of karam, or nobility, in terms of taqwa, the fear of God. See, all their definition of nobility was what you're doing with your money, what you're doing with your wealth, in the context of spending it to the point of your family even suffering and the like, in order to gain a reputation among them, because that's what it takes to get that kind of reputation. Whereas Allah said, no, that's not the way that you get nobility. That's not the way that you get honor. The way that you get honor is have due regard for me. Taqullah. All of this is in there. So the new association, once embraced by an Arab, as a believer, became the source of new behavior, new definition, new terms, new associations, new behavior. He ceased to be what we call in our time, he ceased to be a good time Charlie, but became one who seeks nobility and honor through his consciousness of how Allah is judging his behavior. A little warm out here. Calendar today, you know, heat rises. Let's go ahead and laugh at this right here. It's like, man, you brought a roll of toilet paper, man. And I had set the napkins up. I said, man, don't pull the toilet paper out, man. MashaAllah. More important things right now. So to conclude this, that... So one and the same word can be given an entirely different value and an entirely different connotation and lead to entirely different behaviors according to how it is understood in your system of values. I know that's a rich sentence that we don't have time to really unpack right now, but just understand that words and their combinations are powerful. In fact, they are like chemical elements. Chemical elements, when you put one chemical with another chemical, they bring about a third thing, okay? And that's how it is with words, the words of the Quran. When Allah has brought them into relationship, in a relationship that we in our minds were not and are not capable of combining, and in so doing, Allah is setting before us something that has in it ideas that literally we have never imagined. Allah is gifting us with ideas. I'm sure it's happened to you at some point, even if you're reading English. But you want to get to the Arabic. You read something, you say, oh, man, it's like, I never thought about that. Did you see what he said right here? If that's that, then that means this. So combination of words and combination of verses bring about entirely new worlds. And Imam Muhammad, he told us early on, words make people, that's abstract, right? Truth without details. Let's make a sentence out of it. Words make people feel the way they feel. Words make people act the way they act. Words make people see the way they see. Do you want to act the way Allah wants you to act? Do you want to see the way Allah wants you to see? Do you want to feel the way Allah wants you to feel? Well, then you need Allah's words for that to happen. If you're not feeling the way or seeing the way or acting the way that Allah would have you, it's because of the absence of his words. That's literally what has to be done. So consequently, we need to learn the words, the sentence structure, the grammar, which by that we are learning the chemical formulas and like the atomic structure of the elements and molecules. And consequently, we will build a world from within ourselves and from without. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار آمين اللهم آمين الله أكبر Bismillah. I'm going to go ahead and take a minute, these few minutes at the in the second part of the khutbah to just simply make some announcements. If you have announcements, then you can bring them up. You can bring those on up. And it's also to speak of the sunnah and the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the second portion of the khutbah, then matters of announcement are matters of community concern are brought up. So as to continue in completing this and making the prayer as expected to do this. One of the primary reasons that I want to go ahead and do this because we want to underscore another of our emphasis is that for us here at Masjid Warathin, we have an emphasis on the children and also an emphasis on the Quran, learning the Quran. And so this is what you're getting for as far as the khutbah is concerned. Because I want to emphasize more on the children, and I don't want you to miss this. I need to get this to you. Okay, Eid, for example. The Eid will possibly either be the 19th or the 20th. With regard to Ramadan, we always get ready for Ramadan because we're fasting, right? So it's like we're already on that countdown. But right now, and as it is historically, our environment does not support our awareness of Eid al-Adha so much. It's like sometimes by the time it shows up, it's upon us, right? For as far as the children's Eid activities, for example, it's like during Ramadan, the $100 per person requested donation. It can be asked for regularly, and you can be prepared for it. Well, we also, for as far as Eid is concerned, we always want our children to have indelible memories about the Eid activity. So, inshallah, we invite everyone to take the spare no expense attitude for as far as the children are concerned because they don't have Easter. And for many of them, I know some do, many of them, they don't have the Halloween. They definitely don't have, as general Muslim children, they don't have the Christmas. You know, maybe somewhere in mixed families where there is Christmas that is observed. But children in quote unquote fully Muslim homes, they just don't have that. And whereas the environment signals Christmas and signals Easter and signals Halloween and signals all the gaiety and all of the presents and gifts and joy that goes with that. They're in an environment that supports them in that. Our children, our Muslim children, they don't have an environment that supports. Indeed, in some instances, it just antagonizes that. So it is our responsibility, because we only get two shots during a year. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You only have two chances to impress upon your children. I'm looking at children of pioneers in the audience right now. So we're up, gone, and grown, but they, the pioneers, some of you have children now. There's the younger children who are not yet at puberty, and then also those who we have grandchildren. We have grandchildren, and we want to keep them influenced as long as we can, as strong as we can. I'm not going to elaborate on all the stuff that's out there. We can talk about television commercials, and we can talk about other things, but there is systemic activity inside of the public schools that most of our children go to that is designed to take those children where this world wants them to go. And if we as Muslims don't have any counterforce, we have no counterbalance. It's real. It's like, listen, I'm going to put it like this. I'm going to put in a movie reference, but imagine you done shot all your bullets and the monster is about to come around that corner and you only got one bullet left. Now, you know where you got to hit that beast, but you know you only got one shot to hit that beast. Now, what you going to do, take the bullet and commit suicide?
Oh,
yeah,
I can't do that.
No. You're going to take your best shot. Listen to this, Muslim. Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha, that's your best shot. Come on now. You remember that bicycle you got on Christmas? And you remember when you didn't get that bicycle on Christmas, too. See, it's like it goes both ways, right? So children, you talk about Eid, they need to be impressed. We need to impress our young people with what's happening. So what's coming up is MNAS summer program. Tonight continues that. Tonight there's a pizza and a movie in Emeryville. So it's Friday night, 5:45, a dinner at the California Pizza Kitchen, and it's followed by a movie, going to the movie The Baby Boss at 7 p.m. And so it's free to you and everyone who RSVPs. So you can email to mshspeters@gmail.com, and this is all taking place at the AMC Bay Street area, But contact Dr. Peters, and you can get more information on that. So this is a part of the NAS Summer Social Events Calendar. You get your identity from your socializing group. You get your identity from your socializing group. If we don't, now Muslims, if we admit it, those of us who are of the first resurrection, quote-unquote, transitioned, et cetera, we know we missed a whole lot of boats for our children. We did the best we could, but we missed a lot of boats for our children. But alhamdulillah, some of them have given us grandchildren, and those grandchildren are still connected with us in a way. And I know that there are many who are still connected, but they're just not connected as strongly as we would prefer for them to be connected. But at the same time, you got to remember, I know I'm kind of treading out there on some, I don't know if it's the plank or the quicksand, I don't know where I'm going to put it like this, that the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the people of his time, he said that you have received the religion in such a way that it's been complete in your presence. And it's such that if you leave just 10%, if you leave one-tenth of what you have, speaking of them at that time, if you leave one-tenth of what you have received, then you are going to suffer a great punishment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that failing just 10%. But in the end, the time is going to come such that if you hold on to just 10% of what has been revealed, then you are going to make paradise. Okay? So if we ourselves and if our children, hey, are they holding on to 10% of it? I mean, do they at least say assalamu alaikum? Do they say inshallah? Do they say alhamdulillah? Do they say Allahu Akbar? Okay. If they still say that much, you respect that, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. If they're respecting the fact that you, if that's your case, are truly holding on to the deen and they respect your holding on to it and they respect your practice of it, alhamdulillah, that might be their 10%. Okay, so I'm just saying this to say we don't want to be hard on them, but at the same time, we have to deal right now with if we knew then what we know now. And the world that we and our children are facing now is much more treacherous and much more powerful in its ability to undermine their very natures, social nature especially, particularly. It's like, and we're not firing a shot? Come on now, we got to shoot the shot. All right? And that's what the Eid opportunities are. So make sure that you contribute in that way to this that is coming up. And for two years with the start of COVID, so COVID in 2020, June went by, so we had all the graduations, but we didn't get to acknowledge that group of graduates from all the different levels in 2020. And so now June has come and gone for as far as graduation aspects are concerned, but we're in a much better situation now to celebrate those successes. But we have to incorporate 2 years. We have to incorporate 2 years of academic success among us. That, let me read this. So August 14th, the NNAS. NNAS is our youth-oriented project, specifically as around education. And NAS community graduation celebration for both classes, the classes of 2020 and 2021 at Masjid Warathin, August 14th, that's about a month away, August 14th at 6 p.m. To participate, the graduate must have been promoted from kindergarten, fifth and sixth grade, or eighth and ninth grade. That is, you know, those transitions between elementary and high school, I believe it is. Yeah, elementary, middle, and high school. So they have it promoted from kindergarten, fifth and sixth grade, or eighth and ninth grade, or graduated from 12th grade, or any college / university. We're acknowledging all of them. We're acknowledging all of them. Now, obviously, we can't do come one, come all kind of scenario. So here, it must be parents. The parents must be members of Masjid Warathin. You don't necessarily have to be a person who is a corporate member. If you're present and that's your interest, and you have demonstrated by your zakat in the past, and of course your attendance and presence here, which can easily be acknowledged, whether it be by myself or others. So I'm saying, you don't have to be a corporate member, but you have to have had a demonstrated presence as a member here in the community and make the requisite contribution needed in order to make this happen. So what we're having is parents must be members of Masjid Warathin, or grandparents who are members of Masjid Warathin must have guardianship of the graduate. So it's like, not just a matter of saying, well, this is my grandchild, so-and-so, this is whatever, this is my son, daughter, what have you. You have to have a legal tie to them in order to, in order for them to be fit to qualify for what's been said. If you have any need for clarification, if your case is a case where you have need for clarification, then you can let me know. I'm not going to put that on Dr. Peters. You can let me know, and I take all my messages through Amina Latifa, who is ready to receive your donations always and after anyway. But we are also for this. So we're saying that there are two things. So you have the Eid al-Adha that's coming up, which is likely on the 19th or the 20th, that we want to prep ourselves for in making that impression on our young people. And we have the August 14th event that's coming up, which is the acknowledgement of the graduation. These transition points are critical in the lives of our young people. And we want to make an impression on them that is also indelible in that regard as well. Can't do it without the contribution. We have a budget for that. It's about $12,000. I won't go through the details of it, but it's all legitimate, simple, et cetera. But it has to be fleshed out. It has to be fleshed out. So you don't have to limit yourself, if you would, to a $100 contribution. Just have it in mind that I want to make a contribution to both of these events, both the Eid al-Adha, especially for the children, and the graduation ceremony, August 14th. So, need for any other details or clarification? You can see me. I'll be around for a minute. Okay, tonight the Women of Masjid War theme are having their Zoom meeting, and those of you who've been on that, you know how to be in touch with that. Also, tomorrow the men's group also have their Saturday conference call. Alhamdulillah, congratulations, anniversaries for Tariq Ali and Javed Monique Shahid. Alhamdulillah, July 7th, 3 years. Taysir Leticia Robertson, July 8th, 48 years. Allahu Akbar. Birthdays for Safia Rab and Ibrahim Saeed Shahid. He's on the job. Alhamdulillah. Happy birthday, bro. Allahu Akbar. And Khadija Sabri, alhamdulillah, July 11th, alhamdulillah. The Arabic classes are going on, 12-week began on June 5th. Sister Zarina Majid, she is the instructor there. And also Beyond Beginning is Saturdays with Sheikh Abdul Rauf. And we have our ears to the ground for the unity Eid that sometimes happens in our area, Masjid or Athen, in the Eid al-Adha. Our motivation is join the prayer for the larger body, which is really what the Eid al-Adha is really about. And so therefore we join that group, but I haven't heard any formal plans to say we're going to this place at that time. But given that that prayer happens, it's going to be the 19th or the 20th. So if you get some information, pass it along. Inshallah, we have our contacts out as well. So then given that there becomes a locale for a unity prayer, then we will be joining that. But failing that being formally established by a coordinating group for that, then we'll be here for the ad hoc prayer. You'll get that detail if it becomes necessary. So I thank you for your attention and your patience in this exceptional situation today. Wa aqim as-salat. Subhanallah. Let me make dua. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. وله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذ سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسيع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو علي عظيم. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. الحمد لله رب العالمين وأقم الصلاة. Thank you. Muhammad Rasulullah. They put out new guidelines regarding the CDC. I can't give you word for word right now, but the 6-foot distancing is not included in those announcements. I'll just put it to you that way. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين الرحمن علم القرآن خلق الإنسان وعلمه البيان علمه البيان الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمدا الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والتين والزيتون وطور سنين وعاد البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلحهم أجر غير ممنون فما يكذبك بعد بدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله الفاتحة بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين الحمد لله تقبل الله Allah'a emanet olun.